But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Matthew 14:30. Hi, I'm Rob West. The account of Jesus walking on water and Peter attempting to join him is generally associated with faith. But does it hold a message for investing as well? I'll talk about that with Mark Biller today. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Mark Biller is back with us today. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they almost never attempt to walk on water unless you count water skiing. Mark, great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
Mark, what does trying to walk on water have to do with investing? Why don't you connect the dots for us?
Yeah, sure, Rob. You know, before we dive in, I need to explain the title of the article we're talking about, which was, "If you want to arrive safely, you've got to stay in the boat." Now, okay. Our title is a little wordplay on an excellent book by John Ortberg that he called, "If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat." So years ago, we ran an excerpt from that book in our SMI newsletter, and we used that contrast between getting out of the boat in our faith walk with Christ versus staying in the boat as investors, with the boat in this latter case being a well thought out and personalized investing strategy. So that's kind of the setup for today's conversation, just so that'll make a little more sense as we go through that. So with that in mind, you know, let's go to Matthew 14, where we find the story of Jesus walking on the water, and Peter, as enthusiastic as ever, wants to come out and join him, so Jesus tells him to come. The first few steps go really well, but as most of your listeners are familiar, Peter then notices the wind, he becomes fearful, begins to sink, cries out to Jesus to save him. And as Jesus saves him, he admonishes Peter for having too little faith. So again, the Bible story here is a vivid call for Christ followers to get out of our comfort zones and live boldly by faith. But for us as investors, boldness isn't always the best approach.
Fair enough. So why are we then, as managers of God's resources, usually better off staying in the boat as it relates to our investing?
Yeah, there are several reasons. You know, one is stewardship. You know, managing God's wealth with his priorities and his purposes in mind, that's an assignment that's given to every Christ follower. So this story begins with Jesus giving his disciples an assignment. Get into the boat and go ahead of me to the other side. And just like that, we too have wealth-related marching orders to be good stewards of the Lord's money on our journey that we're taking in this life. So the main point we're trying to make in this article is you need an investing boat that will carry you safely across these occasionally turbulent economic waters. And in stewardship terms, your boat is a biblically sound, personalized money management strategy. You know, you need a plan that will guide your spending, saving, investing, your generosity. And this plan needs to be designed to assure that you arrive safe at the end of your financial journey. You know, it'd be kind of foolish, Rob, to think that a person can survive the wind and turbulence for very long without being in a well-built boat.
That's exactly right. But then again, it's not enough just to have a boat or a plan, is it?
No, it isn't. You know, unlike Peter, investors need to stay in their boat. You know, as we say in the article, it's generally not safe to think outside the boat. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't even take the time to build their boat. Or if they have one, if they have a plan like we're talking about, they don't always stick with it. They don't stay in the boat. So again, what we're talking about here is a plan. You've got to have one, and then you've got to stick with it, even when the storms come and are blowing you all over the place.
Well, we're certainly experiencing some of those storms right now, so we'll continue to unpack this just around the corner. How should you think about your portfolio as the winds come and the waves pick up? Mark Biller here to help us think through that. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. Much more just around the corner. Stick around.
The preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes asks some tough questions. What good is wealth if death is unavoidable? Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? Explore these questions and consider the devastating effects of foolishness this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
If you are engaging in sexual sin, today is the day to repent. As it was corrupt in Judah, let's be honest, the same things are happening today. The pornography addiction amongst the body of Christ is through the roof. And by and large, many in the church are not discussing these things too often because many of the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to do so, they're bound themselves.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal, daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm joined today by Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, and we're talking about a recent SMI article entitled, If You Want to Arrive Safely, You've Got to Stay in the Boat. In fact, we're using that as a parallel to Matthew 14, with the story of Jesus walking on water and Peter hopping out of the boat, trying to join him, and using that to parallel our investment strategy in these difficult times. Mark, anything you might want to say as context in addition to that for those just joining us?
Yeah, so that's really the main point. When we're talking about staying in the boat, we're talking about having a well-defined, personalized investing strategy. And then when we're saying to stay in the boat, we're trying to emphasize the importance of sticking with that strategy, because the temptation is that when these economic storms come, the market maybe is having a bear market like we've been having this year, the temptation is to abandon that plan and jump out of the boat. And that's what we're trying to caution listeners against doing today on the program.
Yeah. And as we said before the break, Mark, there's more to it than just having a boat or a plan, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we were saying you've got to stay in the boat. You know, it's great to have a boat, but you got to stay in it. And then along with that, we need to expect that there's going to be wind at times. You know, in this story in Matthew 14, the disciples weren't rookies. They were fishermen. They'd been on the lake before, and they knew that heavy winds and storms were possible. And in the same way, we need to realize there are going to be challenges on our financial journey. You know, these challenges may look different for different people. You know, it could be unemployment, unexpected expenses, health setbacks, a bad economy from time to time, periodic bear markets that hit the value of our investments. But the point is, we need to anticipate and plan for those possibilities. They shouldn't really catch us by surprise. And then the last point, Rob, that I'd make on this is that while we're having a little fun with the wordplay here in our article to make a point, you know, the underlying message that we're trying to convey is actually the same as Matthew 14, and that is, ultimately, we need to ignore the wind and focus on Christ. You know, the wind can cause us to grow fearful and sometimes react inappropriately, but that's where we're saying to stay in your boat and trust the one who said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you."
That's great advice. Mark, any other takeaways from Matthew 14 that might apply to our investment life?
Yeah, one that I don't think people really think about very much is everything is risky. Now, the risks may be different, and some things are definitely riskier than others, but navigating these risks is essentially what selecting an appropriate portfolio mix is all about. When you own more stocks, that gives you greater upside potential, but also more risk of loss. And on the flip side of that, when you own more bonds and CDs, that offers you more safety, but then you've got the risk of losing purchasing power in the face of the kind of inflation that we've been seeing lately. So the challenge is always to balance the reward that you need against the risk that you're willing to accept. And that's really a primary focus of what SMI does for our members, or what any advisor is trying to do for their clients. I'd say, you know, one other takeaway from Matthew 14 is that the decision to grow always involves a choice between risk and comfort. So even the best strategies are going to have setbacks at times. And that's why SMI uses an investing temperament quiz to help members identify an appropriate risk level for them before they get into the middle of a market storm.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And of course, that's wise advice moving forward. But some folks, Mark, that we're hearing from have already seen the wind and the waves, and they went completely to cash. What counsel would you give to those folks?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, Rob. You know, our SMI strategy started building cash 6 months ago, and we haven't gotten the necessary signals to start reinvesting that cash back into the market yet. But I need to quickly add that the decision to raise cash within the SMI strategies is part of a mechanical discipline process. And that's really totally different than an individual just getting scared and deciding to sell. So, you know, for listeners that have gone to cash and they don't know what to do next, you know, one option might be to start watching how the SMI portfolios handle their cash position and follow along with those signals.
Yeah, very good. And if someone is just thinking about cashing out, and we're certainly hearing from those folks as well, they haven't done it yet. Mark, what is your counsel to them?
Yeah, again, Rob, absent some kind of a tested mechanical process that's going to help you remove your emotions from this decision, trying to move in and out of the market is a really hard thing to do for an individual investor. And most people, quite frankly, just do a terrible job with that. After every bear market, we hear from people who got scared, they sold out, And then they stayed in cash for years after the bear market ended, which means that they missed the inevitable big rebound on the other side of the bear market. And that's a very real risk if you're trying to do this on your own. So big caution flag for people who are thinking, maybe I just need to sell and go to cash and I'll figure it out later. You know, with the market already down pretty significantly this year, I'd tell an individual that's nervous and thinking about that, that they either need to ride it out using a stock bond allocation that they can stick with, or, you know, maybe they need to look to a service like SMIs that can at least give them more objective data to base those buy and sell decisions on.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And you can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. Mark, you know, the market is obviously going to anticipate the economic data well before it happens, which means that even if we are in a recession, the market will likely recover well before the economy recovers, which is one of the challenges why so many people miss the market moving back up if they go to cash, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Almost always, the market will recover before the recession is over. And that is what makes it, honestly, a lot harder at this point, from my perspective, than it was earlier in the year, to say that raising cash is a good move right now. Now, that's different from if you're already in cash, you know, reinvesting. I think that might call for a little more patience. But that is why I would be more hesitant than I was, say, a few months ago to suggest someone selling now, because we are that much closer to the recession and potentially the end of this bear market.
Yeah, very good. Sound advice as usual, Mark. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Always my pleasure, Rob.
Mark Biller is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can read about today's topic in their article, If You Want to Arrive Safely, You've Got to Stay in the Boat, at soundmindinvesting.org. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
how should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thrilled to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Let's head to Carmel, Indiana. Akini, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm just so excited.
I'm delighted you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, I know. I've listened to MoneyWise since really I was in college in Omaha, Nebraska. I was listening to the Larry Bucket, and when I came to Carmel, I've been listening. I listened to Steve and Howard. I tried to call. I never got through because with my busy work, I was never able to call back.
Wow. You've been listening a long time, Akini. That's incredible.
I have a question, too. Can I say one more thing about
yes, my mortgage? Of course. Of course.
Yeah, I just want to encourage people because I was in my 50s when I bought my house. And what I did, I took a 15-year mortgage, and I paid 20% down. And with the faithfulness of God, God is so faithful, I was able to pay extra every month. So in my 15-year mortgage, I paid it in 10 years. And God has been so faithful. And, you know, it's incredible what God can do when you apply the principle and you live below your means. Because that's what I did.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, you started with a 15-year mortgage, which is great. Most people start with the 30, and then you weren't satisfied with just sending that minimum. You sent extra, saved 5 years on the mortgage, and a ton of interest, no doubt. So that's incredible. That's great advice. If everyone listening would do what you just said, they would save a lot of money and be unencumbered, be more free to serve the Lord even quicker, just as you have been, Akini. So thanks for that great advice.
Exactly. Yeah. So my question is, thanks, Rob. I rolled my 401k from a previous job to a Fidelity, and that was the advice that I got from MoneyWise, and so that is doing great. But during that time, I also opened a Roth IRA at my local bank.
Yeah.
Because I did not have time to go to Schwab or Betterment. So it's still sitting there. And so I would like to know, should I move it with Fidelity or should I just start it with a Schwab or Betterment?
You could certainly, if you've already opened it, have you funded it, Akini? Did you make a deposit into that Roth at the bank?
Yes. The bank that I have it is a... I put it on like what is called a fixed income, and I'm paying them 1% for managing that that money.
And are you satisfied with that, or are you wanting to move that?
I was not satisfied, so I wanted to move that, and I don't know where to move it to.
I see. Yeah. I like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. I think Betterment could be a good option. You know, when you have a smaller amount and you're kind of just getting started, using an indexed approach, in fact, you can use it a lot more than that. There's a famous story about Warren Buffett challenging some active hedge fund managers to a competition where he used passive index investments and he ended up winning at the end. But, you know, it's a very effective way to have a broadly diversified portfolio with very low cost. So I like that approach, Akini. And so if you wanted to open a Roth IRA at Schwab with the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or Betterment, either one, and then transfer this money from the Roth at the bank over to that new account, it would be very low cost. You'd have great diversification. It would be a more passive approach, and you'd just capture the broad moves of the market, which I think make a lot of sense, especially in light of where we are right now. And as long as you have a long time horizon, you should do well.
Yes, that is great. Thank you so much for your wonderful advice. I've been listening to you so long. I feel like I can, I was so timid in, you know, really on my money, but now I've been really a little bold to invest my money. So thank you so much for your service. May God bless you richly. May you continue to prosper. And I would like someday to go back to Kenya and teach people how to manage their money.
That sounds like a deal. Well, if you do that, call me first, and I'll make sure you have lots of resources to take with you. Akini, God bless you. Thank you for your kind remarks, your sweetheart, and for the godly wisdom that you passed on to our listeners today. You take care. Thanks for your call. She was sweet. Spokane, Washington. Paul, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead, sir.
So I have a 401k, an IRA, a Roth IRA, and then some money in Edward Jones in a stock account, which they all lost a bunch of money in like the first quarter of this year.
Sure.
And anyway, I was thinking about maybe buying some I bonds, but I don't really know anything about I bonds.
Yeah, so I bonds, the I stands for inflation. So the inflation bonds are issued by the U.S. Treasury, and they're intended to overcome the effects of inflation. There's a fixed component to it, and then there's an index-adjusted component that's pegged to the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. So they're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, and because of what's happening right now with inflation, that adjustable component has pushed the interest rate, the yield on these I bonds, up to 9.62%. That rate will adjust every 6 months. It just happened in May. It will happen again in November, and it will move based on what happens with CPI between now and then. It will likely come down, but I don't think it'll come down much. It'll still be a very attractive rate for essentially a risk-free investment, given that it's backed by the U.S. government. You do have to hold them for at least a year, and if you cash it out within 5 years, but more than 1 year, you'll give up 3 months worth of interest as a penalty, which is not a big deal. And you can only put in $10,000 in electronic I-bonds. You'll find them at treasurydirect.gov. treasurydirect.gov. You'll open an account. You can do an ACH transfer of the funds in to buy the electronic bonds. The only way you can get above $10,000 is through an additional $5,000 in paper I-bonds, but that has to come through a federal income tax refund. So if that's not available, you'd be limited to the $10,000 in electronic funds. It's the best investment out there right now, Paul, so I'd head to treasurydirect.gov and you can set up your account today. Thanks for your call. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit moneywise.org/connect. That's moneywise.org/connect.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions. Let's head right back to the phone, St. Louis, Missouri. Tim, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, people think I'm crazy, but I got a question. I wonder if it's like biblical or against the Bible, but me and my wife, we've got our own separate banking account, checking account, because when we were young, we had one and she would write checks on it and I would write checks on it and it would get overdraft. But since we switched to her having her own and me having my own, we never had a problem. Our bank accounts are healthy. Yeah. You know, we split it down the middle. I do the house. She does the insurance, utilities, and groceries, and it comes out about in the middle. So is there anything against the Bible against that?
No, I don't think so at all, Tim. I mean, this is just a mechanical function. Now, I don't advise what you're doing because often what we see is that it just creates and fosters division. God's design in marriage is oneness. Now, does that mean you absolutely have to have one checking account? No, I certainly wouldn't go that far. I would just say that often what is going to foster the best relationship, open communication and trust and shared goals is you all working together on your finances, which you may be doing, talking about the provision that God's bringing into the home, not mine and yours, but ours, looking at your values and your priorities and creating a plan, both in terms of your lifestyle and your spending, as well as your accumulation and savings goals, creating a plan together through prayer, and then selecting one bookkeeper, the person who's most accustomed to the details and paying the bills. That person is responsible to make sure everything happens. So that way there's not any kind of, you know, well, I paid this, well, I didn't realize you were paying that, and I paid this, and now we're overdrawn. You can avoid that with one bookkeeper, but where everything's in plain view, where we're working out of one account, and we're working on it together. A lot of times folks will avoid doing that and split it up just because they find that they have conflict. And the potential for conflict, I don't think, is enough reason to separate it, because again, it will foster that mine and yours mentality, which I think is not in line with really God's design around oneness. It sounds like in your case, it's a little bit more mechanical, but give me your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, she has access to mine and I have access to hers, but I mean, once in a while, we may transfer money in between accounts, depending on what the deal was. But yeah, I mean, as far as trust, we haven't had a problem since. And it's okay. Been about 20, 25 years.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, you've made it work for you. I think the key is that you all are sitting down and making decisions together as to how you're going to handle the resources. You're not looking at it like, well, this is your money. You go do what you want. I'll do what I want. And we'll make our own decisions. I think the key is really that open communication, fostering decisions and goal setting together. You guys are just choosing to handle it you know, separately in terms of the bills that she pays versus you. And so it comes down to really more of a mechanical function. At the end of the day, I would prefer to see you operating out of one account with one bookkeeper just to, you know, keep everything together. But I think the way you're doing it is certainly fine. I absolutely wouldn't say there's anything that is in conflict with God's word as you describe that. So, Tim, all the best to you guys. Let's do this. I'm going to send you a gift, a book by our good friend Howard Dayton called Money and Marriage, God's Way. Why don't you and your wife take several months and maybe work through it one chapter at a time? I think it'll be a blessing to you, and just our way of saying thanks for listening. You hold the line. We'll get your information and get that right out to you. And Tim, thanks for your call. On to Cleveland, Ohio, WCRF. Nina, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. My dad was on life support about a year ago, and thank God he made it through. The doctors indicated that if he did survive, he would be debilitated. So this is what we're facing. He needs to go into long-term care. He is a veteran, and he does receive VA pension monthly. My mom really never worked, and they only own homes. I was informed that if my dad goes into a long-term facility, majority of his VA pension will follow him, leaving my mom not able to support herself. And I'm trying to figure out, is there any kind of way we can allocate the money back to the home? I was told from Ohio Medicaid, it depends. They may be able to allocate the money. But from the standpoint of the social workers that I've been working with from VA, from university hospitals, they're telling me that if he goes into a facility, that it will help pay for majority of his care, and my mom may have to leave her home. So my question to you is there any kind of way that my mom can try to get the money back to the home? I mean, they told her she can stay there. She just has to find a way of taking care of it. And my mom is like 73, 74 years old.
Sure.
And again,
sure.
She doesn't work. My dad's been taking care of her. And because he's not service connected, VA will not care for him at any long-term facility, even including the one in Sandusky, Ohio, where they have their own long-term facility.
Yeah. Well, Nina, boy, this is such a tough situation. I think the only key is to try to explore the ability to have the benefits split so that your mom could benefit from some of those benefits and be able to cover her expenses. Sounds like she doesn't have the ability to work at this point, given that she hasn't for a long time and she's elderly. Is that right?
That's correct. And she recently applied. She had a social worker work on her behalf where they were only able to get her eligible for her own separate money, no more than $283 a month.
Yeah. What about Social Security, Nina?
Well, again, my dad never had Social Security. He was under PERS.
Okay. I see.
And he worked under a program that, you know, you can't have both.
Yeah.
So the PERS has been drawn down. And again, all he's getting right now is VA pension.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think you're going to have to do a bit more research here. I don't have a solution for you as much as I would love to say that I do. I think going back to the VA, continuing to work that process and see what you can find in terms of, Lord willing, being able to get a portion of this VA pension directed toward your mom so she can stay in the home. I realize it's a challenging situation, and you and if you have siblings, you know, might need to come around her. We may need to look at the option of her moving in with one of you guys. I mean, I think this is a time to begin exploring all options. So we'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom, Nina, as you think and pray through this. I know it's not an easy one, but I'm trusting that the Lord will give a solution here. Thank you so much for your call today, and keep us posted on how things turn out. God bless you. Well, folks, let's take a quick email here before we hit our break and then back with more of your questions. This one comes from a listener in Baltimore, and Mildred says, is there a best way to make a budget? I'm actually looking for a smartphone app, and I promise I didn't plant this question. The reason I say that is we have a smartphone app that will help you do just that, Mildred. In fact, several years ago, I couldn't find the budget system that I wanted for my smartphone. And so we said, you know what, here at MoneyWise Media, we're going to build it. So we had a team of developers spend a long time building what I think is the best in class money management system in an app. It's called the MoneyWise app. You'll find it in your app store. Search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. You can use one of three systems that will mirror your money personality, a hands-off approach just to track, all the way to a digital envelope system where every envelope gets funded and you know exactly what's there at every moment. You and your spouse can share it. It's easy to use and it has a beautiful interface. Just head to your app store and search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our final segment of the broadcast. Stay with us.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
There are some horrendous things that have been taking place.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
But, the good news is that God is still on the throne. Jesus is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
He said in the world you would have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And that's the way we've got to approach all this stuff.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at MoneyWise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Let's head right back to the phones. Columbia, Missouri. Michelle, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much. I just had a question as far as interest rates. My husband and I purchased our first home together 2 years ago, and we bought our interest rate down to 2.75, and it was a VA loan. He passed last year, and without his income, I'm not able to maintain the house, so I need to sell it. It has appreciated in value, I think maybe $150,000. And my question is, would it be a good selling point, because VA loans are assumable, and you do not have to be a veteran to assume, now the interest rates are 6.5 approximately, mine is 2.75. How should I deal with that in selling? Because I know I'm going to ask more than what's left on the loan. I have paid it down some.
Yeah. And the loan, Michelle, is current. It's not in default, correct?
Correct. It's current.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing, but your question is very on point, and you're exactly right. VA loans are assumable, and that allows the borrower to take over the terms of that mortgage. And as you said, they don't have to be a military service member, veteran, or surviving spouse. So it can be a huge benefit, especially in an environment where we're like we're in right now, because interest rates, mortgage interest rates, are now over, well, 6.25%, 6.5%. You're at 2.75%. So somebody being able to take this over, as long as they can qualify based on the VA credit and income standards and it's current, they absolutely could assume it. And it would be a huge benefit to somebody who's buying it. So I would absolutely make that a part of the marketing as you put this house on the market.
And how would that work with the difference in cost between what is owed and what I would like to sell it for?
Oh, well, you would get the full amount of the value of the mortgage. It's just that they would transfer the mortgage over to this individual. So they would pay you the proceeds, and then they would pay the difference to the VA for that assumable mortgage. So the transaction comes out the same. You'll end up getting the full amount for the house, and the person buying it would pay in the portion that they're buying it for, and then the VA would cover the rest.
Okay, so they can get a loan for, say, $150,000. That is at whatever percentage it is now, and then just assume the other loan so that I get paid the difference.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help. I really, really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Michelle. Thanks for calling. God bless you, and we'll certainly keep you in our prayers. Chicago, Illinois, is it Louise?
Yes, it is. How are you
Great.
Doing?
Great. Go right ahead. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Okay. All right. My question is this. I have some double E bonds. I've purchased $10,000 in I-bonds. I have some paper E-bonds that have matured. I know I can go on the website and transfer them over to electronic bonds. Will I be able to then use these to buy an additional $5,000 in I-bonds?
No, unfortunately, you won't, Louise. The only way you can get above $10,000 in a calendar year is through a tax refund with paper bonds. So these Series E bonds, regardless of whether they're paper bonds or electronic bonds, can't be converted to additional I bonds. If you've already purchased the $10,000 you can purchase for this calendar year, you would be at your maximum. So these would be able to be converted to electronic Series E bonds or redeemed, but not converted.
Okay, and I have one additional quick question.
Sure.
I have a whole life insurance policy that I'm thinking about cashing in. It has like a $30,000 value. I don't have anybody depending on my salary if I were to pass away. Would I have to pay taxes on that money that if I cash in that policy?
You only pay taxes, Louise, on the amount that exceeds the total amount of the premiums that you paid into the policy. So when you get into the amount that is the accumulation through interest or whatever growth you experienced in that side that policy, where it was growing tax deferred, you would pay tax on that portion. But that's only the amount beyond the total amount of the premiums that you paid in over the years that you had it.
And the life insurance policy, when I cash it in, they would take and give me that information, correct?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. They'll tell you the cash value, and then they'll also give you the breakdown of what portion is a return of premium and which portion is actually the gain, and then that would be taxable to you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Great listening
All right.
to you for years.
Oh, great, Louise. Well, we appreciate your call today. God bless you very much. Let's head to Cleveland, Ohio. Carl, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Earlier in the show, you were speaking about gift tax. My question is, if I gave the maximum $16,000 to a husband and then to a wife, will I be needing to pay tax on that, or no tax?
No, there would not be any tax due. You're allowed to, every taxpayer can gift up to $16,000 to an individual recipient in 1 year, and there's no limit to the number of recipients you can gift to. So that amount is excluded. It's just that when you get beyond that amount, that's where you would have to file IRS Form 709 with your tax return every year, and the amount beyond $16,000 to a single individual would go against your lifetime exclusion, which today sits at $12.06 million. That's your lifetime exemption. So you'd have to give a lot of money to a lot of people or a lot of money to one person to get up above $12 million. But it's just that anything beyond $16,000 to a single person in a single year is going to require you to report that to the IRS on Form 709.
Gotcha. Well, thank you.
Okay. You are very welcome. Absolutely. We appreciate your call today. God bless you, sir. Folks, you know, we've covered a lot of ground today. We're almost out of time. Let me mention before we go, though, a couple of thoughts related to how we should think about credit. And, you know, there's a few areas that you don't want to use a credit card. You know, when prices are high and our budget is feeling the squeeze, it's tempting to pull out credit cards and postpone the financial gain. Unfortunately, if you do that and you don't pay your cards off in full every month, it's going to hurt a lot more later. So we always want to have a spending plan. But here are seven things you should never pay for with a credit card. All right, you ready? The first is rent. You might be tempted to put your rent on a credit card to earn rewards, or because you're short of cash at the moment, don't do it. Many rental companies charge an extra fee for paying online with credit. You're better off writing a check to your landlord each month. College tuition. While it might be convenient to pay for college fees and tuition with a credit card, most colleges won't let you do it unless you use a third-party vendor. Again, extra fees. Purchases at some small businesses. You may not know this, but credit card companies charge processing fees for each transaction. Big retailers usually absorb those costs, but smaller businesses may add a surcharge on credit purchases and pass those along to their customers. So they're required to let you know if there's a surcharge, but I would use a cash or a debit card instead. Also, overseas purchases. Be very careful with a credit card. International travelers are painfully aware that most credit transactions abroad come with a fee of 3% or more. That can add up if you're going out of the country. Try to pay for things with local currency or find a card that doesn't charge the fees if you can. Parking tickets. Usually there's an online convenience fee that's pretty hefty. Movie tickets. A lot of times you can pay an extra $1.50 a ticket. And federal income taxes. That's right. A lot of folks are using third-party processing companies that the IRS uses to pay federal income taxes. They will charge you a fee for the privilege of paying online. So listen, paying for goods and services online with a credit card may be convenient, but it can be very costly. These surcharges are called, convenience fees for a reason. So avoiding them may require for you to plan ahead, mail a small check, use a credit, a debit card in person or cash, but you can save a lot of money. And here's the thing, you know, in these times where we have our budgets being squeezed and we're feeling the effects of inflation all around us at the gas pump, although we've seen a little bit of a reprieve there, not much. We're certainly seeing it at the grocery store and a whole host of other areas. Now is the time to get cost conscious and really be careful about how we're allocating God's money, because the last thing we want to do is come out from the other end of this season with a lot of debt that we've accrued because we've been living beyond our means. And I realize it can be challenging, but now's the time to really dial into that spending plan. So if you don't have one, now's the time to put a spending plan in place. Take 30 days, track your expenses, track them very closely, because what you expect to see may not in fact be actually what's going on. And once you have it captured on paper or electronically, then you need a system to control the flow of money in and out. That's where our MoneyWise app can help, or you can use the physical envelope system. We've had a couple of callers today mention Larry Burkett. He was a big fan of the physical envelope system, where you have envelopes that get funded every month, at least for those discretionary spending categories, to make sure you don't go over budget. Whatever you do, make sure it works for you, because it's worth it. We want to be found faithful as stewards of God's resources. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. MoneyWise on American Family Radio is a partnership between American Family Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much to my team. I couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.